हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमभिद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 39. Sukadeva Goswami next described how the two children crawled, walked on their small legs, played with the cows and calves, stole butter and other milk products, and broke the butter pots. In this way, he described many naughty activities of Krishna and Balaram. The most wonderful of these occurred when Krishna's playmates complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna was eating earth. Mother Yashoda wanted to open Krishna's mouth to see the evidence so that she could chastise him. Sometimes she assumed the position of a chastising mother, and at the next moment she was overwhelmed with maternal love. After describing all this to Maharaj Parikit, Sukadeva Goswami, at Maharaj Parikit's request, praised the fortune of Mother Yashoda and Nanda. Nanda and Yashoda were formerly Drona and Dara, and by the order of Brahma they came to this earth and had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary verses. Verses 1 to 21, the secret name-giving ceremony. 22 to 31, Krishna and Balaram's childhood exploits. 32 to 45, the earth in Krishna's mouth. 46 to 52, the eternal position of Yashoda and Nanda. Verses 1 to 21, the secret name-giving ceremony. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, after describing how Krishna killed several demons up to Trinavarta, remembering the name-giving ceremony, which took place previous to Trinavarta's killing, he began this story. Right. So if otherwise you're wondering, why is the name-giving ceremony being done after he's 1 year old, when generally it's supposed to be done after 1 year, 10 days? Right? It's supposed to be done on the 10th day. Mm-hmm. So that's also especially then you would be worried about, because it's closer to that time, you know, after Krishna appeared, and so then it would be Kamsa, you know, I'm sure he has his spies, they're watching everything, so then they would be wondering about all this movement of Gargamuni, right? So that's why it still has to be a secret. Sukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikit, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, namely Gargamuni, who was highly elevated in austerity and penance, was then inspired by Vasudeva to go see Nanda Maharaj at his home. When Nanda Maharaj saw Gargamuni present at his home, Nanda was so pleased that he stood up to receive him with folded hands. And so that's just the standard etiquette, because when someone senior comes into the room, your life airs move up. And so if you stand up, then you catch them. If not, then they leave. So it just weakens. So it's just the etiquette. So in other words, the point is one's supposed to stand up. And then, you know, you're benefited by that. And if you don't, then you're not. Although seeing Gargamuni with his eyes, Nanda Maharaj could appreciate that Gargamuni was adhokshaja. That is, he was not an ordinary person seen by material eyes, senses. When Gargamuni had been properly received as a guest and was very comfortably seated, Nanda Maharaj submitted with gentle and submissive words. Dear sir, because you are a devotee, you are full in everything. Yet my duty is to serve you. Kindly order me. So this is, he has come, so there must be something he has to do. But he's first received properly as a guest and was very comfortably seated. So this means either he just received him there and sat him down and then had this questioning, or it means he received him, he gave him some place, he could take a bath, rest, he feeds him and all this and that, you know, standard etiquette. Then after having done that, now he's going to, then he'll come and be seated, and then he'll bring up his point. So just a matter of whatever's the situation for, properly received. Because you see, is that earlier in the Bhagavatam, whenever some guest came and was received, they were first, you know, especially if they've come from a long distance. If it's close by, then you just give a seat or anything that they need. Take care of any of these things. Then you get into what's the work. You don't at the door ask them, what? So these things may have been done there since he's come from Mathura, so then it may be, you know, all this. So the point is it's proper for the situation. That's the whole point. Yeah. Right? And then submitted with gentle and submissive words, you know. You know, so he's not asking him, you know, what's he doing in his crib, right? So he's dealing nice, right? Yes. What can I do for you, O my Lord, O great devotee? Persons like you move from one place to another, not for their own interest, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas, householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 4 to Bhagavad Arkamrithimala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukul Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. So, this whole point of being able to appreciate and identify a Vaishnava. You could say, yeah, I'd do that if Gargamuni showed up. But the point is would you be able to recognize him? That's the whole point. As you say, yeah, I'd do for somebody great, but Prabhupada moved around in America for a long time before anybody noticed who he was. So it's not that easy to, like that. One has to actually respect Vaishnavas and have that mood to be able to appreciate them. Right? Then one can deal properly. So therefore this is favorable condition to be able to acknowledge Vaishnavas, to be able to receive the Vaishnavas, to deal properly with the Vaishnavas. This is favorable for devotional service, since it's one of the main five items of devotional service of sadhana bhakti, that through that one can make unlimited advancement. Even Lord Chaitanya says even he, you know, is amazed at the advance that you can make by these five. Like that, because it's just the power of Bhakti Devi. Srila Prabhupada comments. As factually stated by Nanda Maharaj, Gargamuni, being a devotee, had no needs. Similarly, when Krishna comes, he has no needs, for he is Purna, Atmarama. Right? Purna, he's complete, so complete only is found in the spiritual world. So the spiritual world is also known as Purna. Right? Because it's complete, while the material world is always incomplete. Right? Nonetheless, he descends to this material world to protect the devotees and vanquish miscreants. Paritra anaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, Bhagavad Gita 4.8. This is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And devotees also have the same mission. So there's nothing for Krishna to gain in the material world. Right? There's nothing for him to do here. But he comes to vanquish the demons, protect the devotees, because it will create a nice environment for the devotees to perform devotional service. So he does that out of relationship for them. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the whole idea. Not that he himself needs to do that. Right? So the same way is that the devotees, like Gargamuni, they do the same thing. They come to the material world to preach. And so we, as their servants, then we take that up and try to, without having any needs, we try to preach. So at least in the devotional activities, we try to have no need. And in other activities, we may have so many needs. But, you know, we're working on those. As I say, work in progress. One who executes this mission of para upakar, performing welfare activities for people in general, is recognized by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as being very, very dear to him. Nacha tasman manyeshu kaschin me priya kriptamaha. Bhagavad Gita 1869, right? So you can understand this is conclusion. It's in the 18th chapter. So here is that you do the highest welfare work, or the preaching work, or bringing people in contact with Krishna consciousness, then who recognizes you? God, right? And then you have trying to do welfare work here in the material world, stuff that all the karmis do, and try to get them to recognize you, because that will somehow or another make the Krishna consciousness movement so much more fabulous. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, you know, who do you want to impress? Right? You impress God, you get everything. You impress a few living entities, then as long as they're impressed, and when they stop being impressed, they're not impressed anymore. Okay? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that we do everything in connection to pleasing Krishna. So distributing prasad is to please Krishna. Then if in that, the karmis are also impressed, you know, so they like the work that you're doing, so then the government gives, you know, facilities and that, and like I think it's in Riga, they distribute prasad every morning, right? They have, at the end of the temple, they have a, you know, an area that's just dedicated to cooking, distributing, and everything like that. No one can eat there, but they distribute from there. And every morning when you know, you come down for darshan, there's this line from there all the way in front of the temple down the street, you know? Of all, you know, homeless and, you know, unfortunate persons, and that every day I think they serve. And because of that, and been doing that for, you know, since time immemorial, then the local government gives them ingredients, you know, things like that. And so in that way they help out, or give some money for them to refurbish, you know, because you have to have a certain standard of the kitchen. Yes. So then to bring it up to that standard, you know, all stainless steel, that kind of jazz, you know. So like that, then they recognize that we're doing it because it pleases Krishna. Then they may become pleased, but if you work simply to please them, they're not even pleased with themselves. How are they going to be pleased with you? Right? Just like we saw before. Someone's disturbed, they are disturbing. Right? So the point is if they're not happy with themselves, how will they be happy with anybody else? So therefore, you please Krishna, everybody else will be happy. It's not a separate endeavor. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised this para upakar, and he has especially advised the inhabitants of India. Bharata bhumite hoila manusha janmajar, janma shartaka kori, kara para upakar. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharat Varsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Right? Because at the time of Lord Chaitanya, Bharat Varsha is only that big. Right? If we go back, you know, some millions of years, it's a bit bigger. But at this point, then this is all the bigger it is. Therefore, it's only India. So then we could see is that India, what the culture was here, it's the center. From there it went out and the whole world was following. And then as time goes, it progresses, it starts getting smaller and smaller, until now it's just down to what's India now. Because even India 100 years ago was bigger than what's now, probably twice as big. You know, because you had Burma, maybe 200 years. You had Burma, you had Bangladesh, you had Pakistan, like that. And Nepal was part of the scene. I even heard that Tibet was included in the whole scene. The British were controlling that also. So, you know, it was a very big place. And so then, that's then. And then now it's smaller. You know, so the whole thing, before it was the whole world. So, you know, someone who lives that they should be doing that work. So if all the only ones following now are here, then the ones born here, then they're supposed to take care of this work.
So now, can we say that this instruction is also for members of this kind?
Yes, because now we've taken it up. So those who are born into the society, their business is preaching the mission. So in other words, if you're born in India or born within the movement, then this is one who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. And that par upakar means transcendental. So if you're born in a family of devotees, then you're supposed to preach Krishna consciousness, not go to Harvard. Like that. It's very obvious. If your parents are karmis, always have been, then you go to Harvard, who cares? But the next generation should be something different. Right? So that has to be considered in your question yesterday. First generation does this, fine. But what about second? They're different. Yes?
But about the going to Harvard part, or sending the children to the karmic school, the argument given is
look, we all went to Karmi school, we all went to the college.
And we turned out okay, yeah, because we're so fabulous and we're so great. We're the center of the universe. And aren't I the perfect example of a devotee? Now, according to the previous things that were mentioned, those who were falsely plowed thinking they were Brahmins because born in Brahman were never invited by Nandamaya. So they must be truthful, control the senses, be tolerant, so on. Okay. What was that other one before it gives the whole list? Yeah, can't remember. It's a big, long list. So they feel they have all those qualities. Well, except it's a bit bigger than I thought. In the Pratigya, in the very beginning. Wow, that long a chapter. Okay.
In the last minute, when Brahmanas are free from envy.
Okay, when Brahmanas are free from envy, untruthfulness, unnecessary pride, right? We turned out okay. Did they? You know what I'm saying? Like that? Grudges. No grudges, right? You have the, I think you have the four regular principle, the three regular principle group. Right? Yeah, so grudges, disturbance by the opulence of others. And false prestige, because they're the doctor, the lawyer, the big businessman, therefore they're more advanced. We turned out okay, we're great devotees. So, by that qualification there, they failed. Yeah, they turned out alright. Let us try another thing. Okay, the father, he was born when he was, as you like, you take it, when he's, let's say, 12 or 6, his father dies. His mother, his sisters, his younger brothers, he has to start working, creating a whole, you know, business thing, takes care of them. You know, they all grow up, they all go to school, all these things. But, you know, but there were times when they had nothing to eat or, you know, had to be very careful and all these kind of things. But now he's grown up, now he's very well situated. In fact, you know, he has a book out and he's respected in the world, you know, things like that. And so now that he's grown up, now when his son is born and all that, then he sends him off to, you know, some extremely poor relative, or sends him off to live with the servants, because, well, that's where I started out, and that's I turned out okay. You understand? In other words, what kind of parents are those? In other words, they went through all that trouble, and then they're going to send their children through that trouble? That's not parents. And it's only for their own prestige, because if their son is just a devotee, just a pujari, just a preacher, oh, that's not, but if he's a doctor, a lawyer, a big businessman, then he can hold his head high in the community of devotees. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be very, very careful. Does that make sense? Yeah, they did turn out despite the bad upbringing. And having come in contact with Krishna consciousness, nice. But wouldn't you want your kid to get a head start? Since the whole point is going back to Godhead anyway. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. You know? They're so worried about that education and all that, but they know that going to the Karmi school isn't that great. Why not just hire the best tutors in the city and bring them to your house? Or, since there's a whole bunch of you there, then get together a new 4, 5, 10 big businessmen that can, you know, pay serious amount, you know, call the biggest guys in, pay them a lakh amount. Anybody will come and teach. You know, they'll come from all over India. That's what they do at Dune School. Right? They only hire PhDs to teach secondary education. They give them a house, a car, everything. They got all the facilities. But as long as they get the good grades. If the class fails, they're fired. But if the class does good, they're there as long as they want. Are they doing that? No. When they went to Karmi school, was there Star TV? No. And now? Internet, all this and that, the promiscuity. And what about all the Punjabis? And all the Punjabi girls? So that's not going on at the school? You understand? So the thing is they have to be a little bit more serious. Well, I came out all right. So then then what about the Western devotees? Hey, I grew up eating cows, and I turned out all right. So, hey, you know, what's the big deal of my kids eating a Mac double cheese, right? You know, not the regular burger, the double cheese, you know, the Big Mac, you know, like that. More sin for your dollar. Like that, you know. Why not that? Would they agree to that? You know, hey, you know, I was a crackhead before I joined and all that, so if my kids, does some, you know, some cocaine or something like that, and then, you know, what's the big deal? Or, you know, now that I've done it, you know, I grew up before, I wasn't a devotee, I didn't understand about cleanliness, and I got a lot of diseases and that. In fact, I got hep C and all that from, you know, all the needles, the sharing needles. But now that I know, then my kids, that they can take heroin without, you know, getting any of these diseases, you know, like that. You know, but and of course, you know, they'll figure out that it's nonsense, and they'll get disturbed and everything, and then they'll take up seriously Krishna consciousness when they're 18, 20, or 24, or 30 years old. You understand? You may say, oh, that's ridiculous, but it's the same thing. When you're starting with someone else, you know, it's the culture, then why would you say that? Does that make sense? So, that you are worried about this, your business people, this is what you do and all that, but you don't need to go to school to do business. Absolutely not. So therefore, they could teach them at home. And they say, oh, but they won't get the social things like that. Since when does Karmi school ever teach you any social skills or values? You learn nothing other than to be in a particular group of people your own age, and everybody outside of that is stupid, right? Whatever year you are, the ones below you are idiots, the ones above you are idiots. Right? So that's a social skill that's so important. So what value you get? You're worried about the karma education? Teach him at home. You're a businessman? He just does the business. You're a doctor, a lawyer? Okay. Then he goes to school. But he doesn't have to go to the secondary. And then you send him to a good school. Okay. Like that. But say that because we're attached. This is what we have to do. I don't feel comfortable. I can't feel materially secure. I don't, you know, I have faith in Krishna and all that, ultimately, but on these material things, I like to take care of it myself. Like that. And then identify themselves that we're either Kshatriyas or Vaishyas or Shudras, or we're Dvija Bandhus. Like that. You understand? And be honest, because that was also one of the points that made it, truthfully. And then do that. But don't try to say, oh, we came out all right. Yeah, like that. Yeah. It's like, because my point is, did they? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Nanda Maharaj could understand.
But we're down here now. Nanda Maharaj, yes. Nanda Maharaj could understand that Garga Muni had come for this purpose, and that his own duty now was to act according to Garga Muni's advice. Right? Because being the priest, then the priest, you act according to his direction. You don't tell the priest what to do. You act according to him. It means the priest will ask, you know, how big, how this, how that, like that. But once then, when he recommends, that's what you do. Not that I'm hiring him, so therefore. They're not shudras. Right? Plumber, yeah, you tell him what to do. You know, interior decorator, you tell him what to do. You tell him too much, then they leave, and you have to get another person. So even they don't like it. In other words, telling people what to do, even the shudras don't like. And Brahmins especially. They won't tolerate it. Thus he said, please tell me what is my duty. right? Because he has to do something. Not that, oh, I've hired you, you know, I brought you. You have to do everything. No, it's what am I supposed to do? Because you're Yajaman. Whatever they do, you get the benefit for. And if you, you know, make proper arrangements, you get even more benefit. So you let them do all the benefit, right? So then that means what? The Brahman does the sacrifice, okay? Now, the full benefit of that sacrifice, 100% of it, goes to that priest. Now, when you give dakshin, then you get the results of that sacrifice. But the results that are there, depending upon the qualification of the priest, is more or less. More qualified priests, the results are more. That's why Nanda Baba would only invite this certain quality of priest. Why? Because the results are for Krishna. He wants the best for Krishna. Get the best Brahmins. Right? So, that means this more. Now, what does that mean? That means I can give the same dakshin, whether they're qualified or not, and get that results. So, I give a smaller dakshin, I don't get the full benefit of the results. So, they're qualified, they do all the different things, then you give that full, you have that mood of submission, you take part, then their guidance, then the whole thing works out. You get the benefit anyway. They're saying, no, I've hired them to do it, so why should I be involved? What am I paying them for? Why should I give a dakshin? Then the point is whatever dakshin you give won't be enough, and you'll get a small amount of the results. So that's why the first thing is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur said this is favorable for devotional service when you have the right attitude in serving the devotees. Mm-hmm. Right? Serving the devotees, you know, the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Right? So Vaishnavas means the generic thing, the Brahmins means those who are qualified to perform the ritualistic ceremonies or, you know, the deity worship, anything like that. So then we have to respect both of those aspects. Not just the Vaishnavas, everyone's the same. No, we respect Vaishnavas, they all have that transcendental position. Some are more advanced, some are less. But at the same time, those who can do these aspects, Vedic, you know, cultural aspects of the rituals and all that, that itself also has to be considered. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So doing that, then one gets all the benefits. So here, if you help and do all those different things, you're already getting the benefit from having the proper attitude. Then, from having the proper attitude means your sacrifice will have more results. Then, having that proper attitude, you'll also deal properly, so you give a proper dakshin in the proper mood, according to your ability, and then you'll get the full benefit. So it's not the volume of it, it's what's appropriate for your position, and with the right attitude. So if you don't have much, whatever small amount you can give is the full amount. But if pride, because the small guys don't say, I hired you and let them do it. Small-minded people, yes, but small people, no. Okay. Yes? He can do. It means it's all designed that all the samskars are performed by the husband or father. Right? But in the tradition, you always have a priest do it. Right? But if it's some of these simple ones at the home, like the regular one, like the paushti, which you do every month and all that, the father may do it himself. But the more main ones, generally you bring someone else. But you can do it yourself, you can. The happening. Even the shaliks are getting tired. It means that different species. They're cousins. They're all shaliks, but the one is the magpies and then the seven sisters. Okay. This is the attitude of everyone, especially the householder. This should be the attitude of everyone, right? So everybody should deal like this, and especially the householder, because they're coming for the householder's benefit. But even others who are not, their ceremony, let's say there's brahmacharis or anyone else, they should also deal in the same proper way. The Varnashram society is organized into 8 divisions: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Nanda Maharaj represented himself as a Grihinam, a householder. A brahmachari factually has no needs, but grihi, householders, are engaged in sense gratification. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2.44, Bhogaishwarya Prashaktanam Taya Pahrita Chetasam. Everyone has come to this material world for sense gratification, and the position of those who are too attached to sense gratification, and those and who therefore accept the grihastha ashram is very precarious. Right? So the living entities come to the material world because they want to enjoy the facilities of the spiritual world. Right? So in other words, the endeavors, the energies of the Lord, the endeavors one makes with those energies, the transformations of those energies, and the results gained by those that transformation. That is then what the living entity wants to enjoy. Right? Because in the spiritual world, enjoyment goes on, but the idea is that process, that enjoyment, will be for Krishna. So all that we've done is, the process is the same, just we've taken Krishna out of it and ourselves. That makes it material. We reverse that, and then it's about Krishna, that makes it spiritual. So that means you can say, you know, across the board, every living entity who's come to the material world has come for sense gratification. That's just the way it is. Now, what type of sense gratification, how much, you know, in what situation, that's going to be different according to the karma and their conditioning at the present moment. But everyone is here for sense gratification. Mm-hmm. So, taking up devotional service, then we start to change that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because then we start to take whatever our position, seeing that in relationship to Krishna. Right? So that's the devotional process. So, now of this, then the brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas, they basically have no needs. It's very minimal. Mm-hmm. So their involvement with the material energy is less. It doesn't mean that they're not quite attached to whatever that less is, but still, it's not in big areas. Right? You know, the brahmachari is attached to sleeping in that corner over there. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal. You know what I'm saying? So yes, he does get grumpy that he comes a little later and someone else who's had their eye on that corner is sleeping in that corner. Right? You know, it's next to the, you know, it's on the veranda, it's got the breeze from, both corners, and it's got the fan. Don't get better than that, right? You know, like that. You know the corner? You don't know the corner? That was Calcutta. The veranda.
In front of the...
Yeah, at the corner there, in front of Prabhupada's room. Right? You know, it's got the fan. Yeah. Don't sleep under the fan, though. Sleep between the fan. Like that. So, therefore then, you know, it's an attachment, but the attachment is much less than you have a whole house and everything that's yours, and you got the mortgage, or even you own it, and all these different kinds of things. It's much less. It is an attachment. So they say, oh, but the brahmacharya is attached also. Yes, they are. But what they're attached, it's much less complicated and implicated. So therefore, the grihastha has the widest range to the deepest. That's why it says is very precarious. So if you're not a devotee, then one is just awash in the cycle of samsara. So it's very dangerous. It will keep you in the material world. But as a devotee, then one can start to engage all those things in Krishna's service. And then one can engage everything. Not that, well, I can engage more stuff, so I'm better. No, it's just a matter of Krishna's so kind that someone has a wide range of desires, they can be engaged. And by engaging them, then you can say, then it's the same position. Right? Because you're doing these things to please Krishna, the brahmachari is doing to please Krishna, so it's the same. Just that he's working with a smaller amount of things and the grihastha is working with a bigger amount. Therefore, the grihastha is in the respective position and is socially considered more mature and responsible. Right? Except for a senior brahmachari, if it comes down to a grihastha, you know, doing an activity or a brahmachari, generally you'd give it to the grihastha because you expect he's going to be more responsible. Like that. Does that make sense? Especially if he's a qualified grihastha. He's quite respected and well situated. Does that make sense? It'll generally say, you know, you give it to them any day over the brahmachari. Unless the brahmachari is very senior, has proven himself like that, and is guiding, and he's like the one guiding those kind of grihastha, then you'll say yes, okay. Does that make sense? So that's just so socially that's the position because they're dealing, they're more responsible. But that responsibility, if it's not connected to Krishna, then it will just take them, you know, down. You know, it's like Trinavarta with Krishna around your neck. You know? It's a bit more than you can deal with. Right? It's just, it's that scenario without Krishna. That's all. Yeah. Okay. Since everyone in this material world is like, how you say? Let's say you are bound by a rope. Okay? We have a rope tied around your neck. Right? And then you're put in the water. Okay? Not good. But if you have a rope tied around your neck and tied to the rope is a very large stone, and then you're put in the water, it's a more precarious position. Does that make sense? Yeah, like that. So, yes, the rope is an attachment, but it's better than rope and rock. So you're trying to get it from rope and rock down to rope down to nothing. That's the process. So you start engaging the rock, then it brings it to the rope, then it brings it to nothing. Yeah. Okay. Since everyone in this material world is searching for sense gratification, grihasthas are required to be trained as mahat, great mahatmas. Therefore, Nandamars especially use the word mahad vichalanam. Gargamuni had no interest to serve by going to Nandamars, but Nandamars as a grihastha was perfectly ready to receive instructions from the mahatma to gain the real benefit in life. Thus he was ready to execute Gargamuni's order. Right? So, not that he had something to gain by going there. Right? He has to go there, he has to get the dakshins, maybe he'll get some nice prasad. He's not worried about those things. Krishna will take care. Like that. And so then, he's just, you know, Krishna's arranged this, that Vasudeva's asked to request him to go do these things, so he's taking care from that side. Then as a devotee, now that he can take care and do things for Krishna, now that's the real gain for him. But the benefit, the external benefit from the sacrifice, that's not the important thing. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, actually a saintly person or brahmana has no business visiting householders who are always busy in the matter of dollars and cents. The only reason saintly persons and brahmanas go to the place of a householder is to enlighten them. If it is asked, why don't the householders go to a saintly person or a brahmana for enlightenment? The answer is that householders are very poor-hearted. Generally, householders think that engaging in family affairs is their prime duty and that self-realization or enlightenment and spiritual knowledge is secondary. That also answers your question about, I grew up okay. Right. Out of compassion only, saintly persons and brahmanas go to householders' homes. Nandamars continued, O great saintly person, you have compiled the astrological knowledge by which one can understand past and present, unseen things. By the strength of this knowledge, any human being can understand what he has done in his past life and how it affects his present life. This is known to you. Right? Because it's basically like this. Let us say I look on the table and there is some mashed potatoes. Okay? Now, by my astrological expertise, looking into the stars, looking into the past, what can I tell about the activities or the karma of the host before I came to them at this point? What can I tell?
He cooked potatoes.
So that means he went to the market, he got potatoes, that means he had money to buy the potatoes, means he had a table that he could actually put them on, so he arranged the table. And you can also tell by the nature of the table, is it all, you know, something solid with matching chairs, or is it one of those plastic things and all the chairs are different, or, you know, like this. You can tell what effort went into it. Now, what if I look on it that it's cauliflower? What can I tell?
Not potatoes.
Not potatoes. Oh, are there no potatoes in it? Okay, cauliflower potato sabji. Okay, you understand? So, that's it. Whatever your situation now, how does that come? It's the result of an endeavor. Specific endeavors give specific results. You have a specific situation. That means specific endeavors are there to have made it happen. You understand? So by understanding that science, you can easily see just by reverse what it is. Just that people don't think like that. They just think it just happened to me. It's destiny. Otherwise, is the question on do I have free will or is it all predestiny not come up in the groups of devotees even now? because they don't understand it. Point is what's come up now is the situation you're in. That's destiny. That's not free will. What you do with that, that's free will. But the effect of your free will give your future free destiny. You understand? So, proper astrologers, they understand this, and so therefore they can see this is the situation they're in now for the birth chart, and then they can read back from that into what it is they were in the previous life, or what, and then what they see is the inclination of the person now, involving that, what you'll get in the future. Does that make sense? Yeah. So he's pointing out that he's compiled these things, he has this knowledge, so he can tell what's going on. Right? Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna, the greatest authority, says that the body will change. And as soon as the body changes, one's whole program of work changes also. Today I am a human being, or a great personality, but through a little deviation by nature's law, I shall have to accept a different type of body. Today I am a human being, but tomorrow I may become a dog, and then whatever activities I have performed in this life will be a failure. This simple truth is now rarely understood. But one who is a dhira can understand this. Right? So probably the point is, basically people just don't understand that. It's just science. I do certain things. I take potatoes, right? What am I going to get? Potatoes. Now I take the potatoes, I boil them. What am I going to get? Boiled potatoes. What if I fry them? I'll get fried potatoes. If I bake them, I'll get baked potatoes. What if I boil them, then fry them? I'll get fried potatoes. What if I boil them, then bake them? I'll get baked potatoes. You understand? So you can tell what it is, what effect it is you want. It won't change. So it's a science. But people don't understand this. Very few understand. So Garga Muni is someone who actually sees things just as they are. He doesn't look otherwise. He just sees. Krishna is the absolute truth. He's created everything. He maintains it. He destroys it. It runs according to his law. Therefore, here's the science behind it. Right, as revealed, in the scriptures. So then he accepting that, I want this result, but I don't want to actually have to go through the endeavor for that. Or I want this, I want to do this activity, but I don't want the reaction for it. That means you're foolish. Because no, they go together. You can't boil some potatoes and then think you're going to end up with cauliflower samosas. It's not happening. Does that make sense? Yeah. And whatever activities I have performed in this life will be a failure. This simple truth is now rarely understood, but one who is a dhira can understand this. Those in this material world, for material enjoyment, should know that because their present situation will cease to exist, they must be careful in how they act. This is also stated by Rishabdev. Nasadhu manye yata atmano yam. Asan api kleshada asa dehaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 554. Although this body is temporary, as long as we have to live in this body, we must suffer. Whether one has a short life or a long life, one must suffer the threefold miseries of material life. Therefore, any gentleman, dhira, must be interested in Jyotish astrology. Right? Because it can tell what actually things happen, how things work. He doesn't judge everything by that. That's also there. I think Vyasadeva wrote a treatise called 100 Fools. And one of them is someone who judges everything in their life by astrology. Right? Is that, because like that. Should I take a bite of potato now? Well, it's like 3 more seconds, it'll be auspicious. Okay, no, these are idiots. You don't do that.
Even the daily newspapers, they give about how the day will go for every Rashi.
How they?
The day will go for every Rashi. Different Rashis, if you know. So daily.
Day means you know, but the point is it's just something you know. Just like if it's raining outside, what do you do?
Take an umbrella.
Or it's cloudy outside, it looks like it might rain, you take an umbrella. Mm-hmm. Right? Or you wear your waterproof suit. Like that. You understand? So, whatever. But, you know, still your hair will get wet. I guess you could wear a hat. But, you know, so the whole point is you see. So it's not that, oh, I don't do it. You just know that, okay, we do this, and at this time these planets are. So you just know that these things have come up. Okay, going to the meeting, it'll be a little bit more difficult. People won't understand. They'll be distracted. So therefore, what do you have to do? Not have the meeting, or be more tolerant, explain things more nicely, take the time. So in other words, by knowing this, you apply more good qualities. We use it as a way to just get, you know, the quickest benefit for the least effort. No, the point is the Vedic systems, you have to put in effort. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that you'll make effort. So either you're doing it from ignorance, you don't make effort, so no arrangements are made, so therefore how things go, you don't know what's happening. Or in passion, you know that, okay, this is a good time, that's a bad time. You really work hard to try to organize those things around those times, but you're working. And based on what? Based on the recommendation of Shastra. So it's recommendation of Shastra, but for material motive, so it's a mode of passion. But by doing that, you get purified. And so eventually, at some point, you just do what Shastras recommend without the mode of passion. So therefore, at that point, then it's just you do these things. If it's avoidable, then you do. And if not, then you just know how to behave. So it's just the standard thing that they're interested in. They don't run their life by it. They are interested. So they have a knowledge of it. That's how it works. They have that knowledge. They do. So the astrology, the Ayurveda, all these different things, they have that knowledge. That's just standard knowledge. That's standard training. Like Krishna and Balaram, they were trained in the 14 books of Vedic knowledge as humans, cultured humans. Then, as Kshatriyas, then they were trained specifically further in the Kshatriya stuff. Right? The 14 books include that, but they were focused on that. So in other words, that general knowledge is for character, right? Mm-hmm. So like before, it was a very standard thing. Most people got a BA, mm-hmm. right? And a few people went for the BSCs or, you know, some other degree like mm-hmm. that. But it's more rare. They're very specialized. But everybody got BAs, mm-hmm. right? Nowadays, it's kind of like, you know, unless you have no plan in life, nothing else to do, then you get a BA. Otherwise, you do something that'll, you know, get you a job. Right, so the whole concept of the BA is gone to fallen by the wayside. So then, what happens? The BA was there to make you cultured, to make you a part of the society. Then occupational training was beyond that. So you were a human. Then you got trained to maintain yourself as a human. You understand? So we see Krishna Balaram first. Learn how to behave as human, the knowledge, you know, so the behavior of the human in the ashram, the knowledge of the human in the general, you know, how you say, study of the 14 books, then the specific occupational of their varna, and then after that, then the arts. Right? Does that make sense? Because you always want to learn science first, then art. Because once you get into art, it's just about, you know, bringing about the various transformations of things, combinations. But you have to know how those combinations and transformations work based on the science. Like if I know how things work, I know what boiling, baking, frying, steaming does. I know what the various spices does. I know what's the difference between if I make a chaunce or if I put in the chaunce I put things in as whole spice or as ground spice, as dry ground spice or as wet ground spice. Or while I'm boiling, I put in dry spice, or I put in wet ground spice. Or at the end, I do that. If I know all these, then I can start to combine the art and make all kinds of wonderful preparations. But if I don't know the science, and I just start putting together, hey, you know, let's put this, you know, like that. Hey, why don't we toss in this shoe here, you know? Like that, it's a good quality shoe, you know? You understand? It won't work. So you always have to learn science, then art. Does that make sense? So that's that. So last is the science, the arts is learned, right? So then you're considered cultured. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. That's why these sciences are known, because then one is cultured. But then one has to apply them through the art, right? Does that make sense? So the art of living, which people talk about, is based on the science of living, which no one talks about. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So Nanda Maharaj was trying to take advantage of the opportunity afforded by Garga Muni's presence. For Garga Muni was a great authority in this knowledge of astrology, by which one can see the unseen events of the past, present, and future. It is the duty of a father to understand the astrological position of his children and do what is needed for their happiness. Because you have to know what's their nature, what's the situations they'll be in, therefore how they'll be trained and how they'll be dealt with. Does that make sense? So that's the point. But of course, we chant Hare Krishna, don't care for any of this. Nanda Maharaj continued, but it's just part of it because it's about, he said, the astrological for his children and do what is needed for their happiness. That's the whole point. Not that, you know, it's for yourself or that aspect. One has to see it in the actual context. Okay. Nanda Maharaj continued, my Lord, you are the best of the Brahmanas, especially because you are fully aware of the Jyotish Shastra, the astrological science. Therefore, you are naturally the spiritual master of every human being. This being so, since you have kindly come to my house, kindly execute the reformatory activities for my two sons. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnyam mayashrishtam guna karma vibhagashaha. The four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, must be present in society. The Brahmanas are required for the guidance of the whole society. There is no such institution as Varnashram Dharma, and if human society has no such guide as the Brahmana, human society will be hellish. Right? So that's the whole point, is that someone with that kind of knowledge, they guide. Right? So, in other words, guiding in devotional life, someone who has knowledge of Krishna consciousness, that aspect then is necessary to be perfect in Krishna consciousness. Now, when we're talking about the Varnashram aspects, you have to have those who know those Varnashram aspects. And as devotees, know those aspects in connection with Krishna. Otherwise, if we don't know them in connection with Krishna, then you'll end up with a Hindu. Or if we know them not in connection with Krishna from the viewpoint of the Western as New Age, then you'll end up with New Age kind of people. Right? And most likely not enough that they'll be down there at in Glastonbury, you know, and on the equinox and all that. So they won't even get that far. They'll just kind of be a mishmash in between. Right? That makes sense? No? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.